Good afternoon, Juneau. It's Wednesday, May 28th, 2014, and this is a Juneau Afternoon. I'm Ken Fix. I'm your host for the show today, where we'll be talking with Zach Miller and Jess Dean about an upcoming Echo Ranch Bible Camp event. We'll find out about the next Juneau Roller Girls bout, the first ever doubleheader. They're calling it the Capitol Riot. We hope it's inside Centennial Hall and not outside of it. Sean Blumenschein will be here to highlight the next Ha Ani art competition, and we'll learn about a workshop about starting your own child care business. These guests, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, some summertime oldies, and more, all today on a Juneau Afternoon. National Native News is up first. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Chiefs from across Canada gathered in Ottawa this week and rejected the government's First Nations education bill. At the same time, they're calling on Ottawa to provide nearly $2 billion in immediate funding for education. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
It took most of the day for the more than 200 chiefs to come to an agreement on how to respond to the Canadian government's education bill. It's been controversial and has so divided the country's Aboriginal leaders that the head of the largest organization, the Assembly of First Nations, resigned several weeks ago. This meeting was aimed at sorting out the differences on education and to set in motion the process to elect a new national leader of the AFN. They eventually voted in favor of a resolution to reject Bill C-33. They also called on Ottawa to negotiate a new education agreement that provides immediate transfer payments to Aboriginal communities. One Aboriginal leader from British Columbia, Julie Morrison, addressed the deep divisions among the Native leaders.
When we fight amongst one another, we're not going to accomplish anything. The government isn't going to listen to one person going to stand in front of Parliament buildings and scream and rant and rave. They're going to listen when all of us are together on the same page.
The government responded to the rejection of Bill C-33 by saying it is extremely disappointed that the AFN did not honor its agreement, adding that the legislation will not proceed without the AFN's support, and that means there will be no new money. That will only come following real education reforms. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Tribal leaders and national Native organizations are responding to the Michigan versus Bay Mills Indian Community case, saying it reaffirms the doctrine of tribal sovereign immunity. The Michigan tribe won the legal battle in the U.S. Supreme Court Tuesday. And as Interlochen Public Radio's Linda Steffen reports, the ruling affects casinos and other tribal businesses that are not on the reservation.
In 2010, the Bay Mills Indian community bypassed traditional negotiations with the state of Michigan, and it quietly opened a casino 125 miles from its reservation. The Supreme Court didn't say the casino is legal, but that the state can't sue the tribe to shut it down. Matthew Fletcher runs the Indigenous Law and Policy Center at Michigan State University College of Law. He says tribes across the nation could try something similar.
And the state would be at least temporarily out of luck, and it wouldn't be able to sue the tribe for a wide variety of activities. And, you know, I leave the door open as to what any of those might be.
The Supreme Court says states can sue individual tribal officials, even hold them criminally responsible if they break the law. But Fletcher says that's largely an untested area of law.
And when you have a big gray area where the tribes have just won a major decision, and this is a very major decision, the bargaining power means that the tribes can try these things and force the states to the table to negotiate some sort of economically viable and political settlement.
The Supreme Court was split in its decision, 5-4. Litigation continues over the small casino in northern Michigan. For now, it's closed. Perhaps ironically, the outcome might have been in the state's favor were this casino on the reservation. The ruling says that's an apparent anomaly in the law. For National Native News, I'm Linda Steffen.
In May 2005, ABC's Extreme Makeover Home Edition featured a new home built for the family of soldier Lori Paestiwa. The Hopi woman was killed in Iraq in 2003, believed to be the first Native American woman to die in a foreign war. POW and friend Jessica Lynch nominated the family for the television show, saying Paestiwa's dream was to return to Arizona and build her parents a home. The design team constructed more than 4,000 square foot house for the family in Flagstaff. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org. You're invited to Kawanak Broadcast Corporation's second annual reception and fundraiser, Thursday, June 5th at Sandia Resort and Casino in Albuquerque. Enjoy the art auction, meet Kawanak's board and staff, and help raise funds for Native Radio. Learn more at nativenews.net. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And a Juno afternoon continues at 3.05 p.m. My first guests in the studio today are Zach Miller and Jess Dean. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, and you're here to talk about the upcoming Echo Ranch Bible Camp event.
That we are. We are super excited about this event happening this Friday, which is in 2 days, May 30th, rather, from 5 to 8 p.m. in Centennial Hall. So all of our staff, our counselors, will be in town celebrating 50 years of Echo Ranch. So been around quite a while.
Wow, you guys have been out the road for 50 years now?
50 years. Yeah, hard to believe.
Okay, and what is the event actually going to consist of at Centennial Hall?
Well, between the hours of 5 and 8, again, we'll be set up in one of the ballrooms inside Centennial Hall there. We're going to have raffles happening throughout the 3 hours there. We're going to have cake and ice cream because it is a birthday bash, and so what's a birthday bash without cake and ice cream? So we'll be giving cake and ice cream away. We will also have a grand finale at the end, around 7:45, where we'll give away a grand prize raffle drawing. And so you'll definitely want to be there for that.
Okay, and Echo Ranch has had a long history here in Juneau. Can you tell everybody how it got started?
That I can. From what I know, it was started by Alan McMurtry. Back in 1964, so that would have been 50 years ago, and it's just slowly grown throughout the years. I believe the first camp that they had had 60 kids out for the summer, I think was around the right number there, and then it's just slowly grown, and right now we're averaging about 900 to 1,000 campers between our three camps, so main camp and then horse and wilderness camp as well. So between those three camps, we average right around 900 to 1,000 kids a summer.
Okay, and how long do these camps run as far as, you know, how many times during a summer do you change kids out and start another camp?
Yeah, each week is a different age group, and so we have four different camps. So our colt campers are 7 and 9 year olds, and those start on Monday mornings and end on Thursday afternoons. Then our bronco campers are 10 and 11-year-olds, and they come out Monday to Friday. The same with our Maverick campers, which are usually junior high age, 12 and 13, and so they come out for the same amount of time, Monday to Friday. And then our senior high camps, which are for those kids that are 14 to 18 years old, and those happen Monday through Saturday, so they get an extra day out at camp, which makes lots of rooms for fun activities and things like that.
Okay, well, what kind of fun activities are we talking about?
Well, as being part of the staff on there, I can't reveal too many of our secrets. A lot of them are just going to have to come out and find out. But some of the classics that we've had in the past are Crud War, which is a massive food fight that we have out on the flats when the tide is low. We have Mission Impossible, which starts when it gets dark here, which is rare during the summer, but it usually starts around 11:30, and we play into the night. For our senior hires, we have a banquet, and so everyone kind of dresses up, and we have some great food prepared by our cooks. We have a carnival for our colt campers, so we transform our gym into a little carnival area, complete with cotton candy, popcorn, and a bounce house.
Okay, and are there any water activities? Is there kayaking or canoeing or anything like that?
We do. We have a full line of kayaks and canoes. Some kids choose to go swimming if they so wish, but it's pretty cold out
chilly,
there.
It's a little chilly, yeah.
It is a little chilly. I don't know if I've ever been swimming out there.
Even
I don't
in
know
August, if, the water's cold.
I know. I don't know if I'm brave enough to enter those waters yet. But, yeah, so they can go canoeing during free time, during cabin time. Kayaking is usually reserved for our wilderness camps, which happen throughout the summer as well. And for those, you can head to our website, which is echoranch.org. And there you can find out everything you need to know about main camp, wilderness camp, horse camp. And you can also now register online, make it a lot easier.
All right. And Jess, you haven't said a word yet over here. What's your role in this?
My husband and I help run the wilderness program. And so we have kids aged 9 to 15 come out, and we have the same length of camps. We're 2 miles upriver, up Cowie Creek from main camp, and we spend a lot of time sort of doing intro to wilderness things. So we learn to do Dutch oven cooking. We do orienteering. We're going to start doing a little geocaching this summer. And new this summer, we've done it in the past, but mid-July there'll be a 5-day boys sort of junior high age sea kayaking trip. So they'll just be out up north Berners Bay. They'll actually get to, on the first day, sort of plan their route and whatnot, and they'll plan and pack for that. And we're also doing a girls age 12 to 15 Chilkoot trail hike. So we'll start at Echo Ranch and then make our way by ferry up to Skagway and hike the Chilkoot and come on home.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, and in light of the woman that's been missing at Mount Roberts for the last couple of days, do you teach survival skills in your camp? And if so, what kind of things do you cover?
Yeah, we absolutely do. It's actually a super fun thing. This summer we're, every summer we make survival kits that are the size of maybe like a Crystal Light container, which actually I'm collecting if anyone has extra Crystal Light containers. So they make their own survival kits. They learn about shelter building and how to self-rescue and keep themselves safe while they're waiting for rescues. It's the kids sort of set the pace of the camp, and so depending on how ambitious they want to be in or how laid back they want to be is what we do, but we cover all the basics with them.
Okay, just curious, what goes into a survival kit?
Well, waterproof matches, an emergency blanket. Now, all the listeners are going to disagree with me because everyone has their favorite things, but there's just usually just a handful of basic things that you're going to keep with you. But matches is my favorite.
Okay, I won't spoil all the fun there, but I think like a mirror or something to signal
there
for help.
There you go, a mirror or a whistle,
And a whistle. Try and keep bears away,
water
too.
Water purifying, yep.
Okay, Zach, and anything else that you wanted to add as far as any other activities that are coming up? And when do your camps start, or have they already started?
Actually, Monday is our first camp, so just in a couple of days here, we're starting out with a bang and going with senior high. So they're done with school, I believe, tomorrow. And so we're inviting all senior hires from the area to come out to camp on Monday. But also some news from horse camp. So horse camp is where girls ages, are they 9?
Starting at 12. Age 12.
That's what it is, 12.
Yep.
And they can go out there for a week and learn how to take care of horses, learn how to ride. But news from out there this morning, as I was leaving camp, I got a radio call that the baby horse, so the foal, was born this morning out at camp. So we're now have a new addition to the horse family out there. And part of the birthday bash is you can come and suggest a name. So make sure you come out to the birthday bash so you can have a chance to have your name picked as the new Echo Ranch horse name.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll make 28 horses for Echo Ranch, so you want to have a chance to get in on that.
Wow, you got a whole herd out there. That's pretty neat.
Yep.
It is.
All right, and what is usually the cost for these camps for the summer, the week-long segments?
Yeah, the Colt campers run about, I believe it's $185, somewhere in that ballpark. So that's going to be the lower end. And then I think senior high camp, which is our most expensive, I think is $285.
Still not bad.
No, it really isn't. And it's definitely worth all $285 of camp. So
I'm sure it is. I remember learning a lot at camp.
Yeah, it's a blast. And we got a bunch of speakers coming up from down south, and they're super excited to be here. And we're all really ready to get started. So we're waiting for Monday to come.
Great. Great. Nice to pack the day's activities with something other than the iPhones and the internet. So
That is correct. It's nice to get away from all that stuff for a while.
Yeah, I remember. Do you still have some of it? Like, I remember when I first went to camp, I was like, oh, I don't want to go to camp. I want to be at home. And then when I was like at the end of 2 weeks, I was like, I don't want to leave.
Yeah,
it's like, why do I have to leave here? This is great.
Yeah, we do still get that sometimes. But our counselors, especially this year, we've really focused on how to deal and comfort homesick kids, and how to help them get the best experience out of camp that they can. And usually they start out that way, but then they're usually the ones that are the hardest to get rid of at the end because they want to stay forever.
You make so many friends and everything while you're there,
Learning
so much and getting into the activities. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. I love camp. Camp is great. Yeah, all right, and let's give everybody your website address again.
Yeah, that's echoranch.org. So you can head on to our website there. Again, registration and all of our information is on there, as well as contact info if you need to give us a call or visit our in-town office.
Okay, and again, remind everybody of the event that's coming up this Friday.
Yes, the event this Friday, Birthday Bash at Centennial Hall, 5 to 8. You'll want to come on out. Again, prizes and cake and ice cream, celebrating 50 years of Echo Ranch.
Yeah, I know you two didn't start with this because you're way too young to be in the 50th anniversary thing, but thank you very much for all that you do, and best of luck and all success for the summer season at Echo Ranch.
Thank you.
All right, and just to liven it up here is Lindsay Buckingham's Holiday Road, which you might realize from the National Lampoon's Vacation soundtrack.
Sherry Williams, and I am a member of KTOO's Summit Club. I've listened to KTOO for decades, eons practically. I really like the programming. I particularly like local news, music that isn't canned. There's just so much content. I do remember supporting it at a very minimal level quite a few years ago. Just as I've kind of gotten more established, I've just increased my support.
Increase your support as well at KTOO.org.
And the Juno Afternoon continues at 3:18 p.m. in the capital city. And right now I've got two of the Juno Roller Girls here in the studio with me, Jessica Morthaler and Erin Hansen. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. And I'll let you talk about the Juno Roller Girls bout that's coming up.
Sure. Well, it's this Saturday at 6 p.m. And the really exciting part about this bout is it's our very first doubleheader ever. So there's actually going to be two full games that are going to happen, And at 6 p.m., we're starting sharp on the dot, and we've got Anchorage, Rage City's Orange Crush coming down. We just beat them for the All-State Tournament a month ago, so they're going to be coming down for blood. And then we're going to follow that up with a bout against the Sitka Sound Slayers.
Yep, Sitka Sound Slayers.
And it's going to be their very first bout against another league. So two really good games.
Okay, great. And how have you been doing this season?
Undefeated.
We are undefeated.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We just participated in the second All-Alaska tournament a month ago and kind of came a little bit from behind. Had two really close games with this Anchorage team, Orange Crush, and took the whole thing. But it was close. It was a really close game, so we're really looking forward to this bout this Saturday. It's going to be very tight.
Okay. And I noticed both of you have your handles that you use when you're on skates. All right. Jessica, you go first. Tell them what it is.
So my derby name is Sailor Mouth Molly, and it's kind of a combo name that I got. My father did 20 years in the Navy, and the joke in our family is the only thing I got out of it was his mouth.
Oh. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. All right, and Erin, how'd you get yours?
Sure. My name is Hellion Hansen, and I don't know, I just wear the name that I use, part of my names, and also had kind of an Alaska reference, so it kind of refers to Helly Hansen's. I mostly just go by Hellion on the track, which
okay.
is fun.
Yeah, I always wonder how people pick their handles and you know what they're going to use when they're out there.
Mine was actually my husband and my younger sister helped me because I was stuck. I'm like, I have no idea what my name should be, and there's such a large registry throughout the nation of derby names that you don't want to make sure that you're getting something either really similar to what somebody else has or the same thing. So that's how I kind of had help with mine.
Yeah, it's really hard. It probably took me like 8 months. I don't know. And I don't even think mine's really exciting. And there's some really good names out there. But yeah, you got yours really fast, I feel like.
I did. I kind of put them to work on it right after I joined the league. I'm like, okay, I need a really awesome name to come up with. And that's where they popped in to help out.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people would think it doesn't sound like a lot, but want to make sure that you don't sound like a stripper or a porn star out there, you know, it's like polystyrene or something, you know. It's like, although
yeah.
I thought that one was a pretty good one.
That is a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess one thing we also wanted to talk about, not just the bout this Saturday, which is our last bout of this season, but also we're recruiting. So if anybody out there is listening and has thought maybe they'd be interested in roller derby, they want to give it a shot, or they might be interested in refereeing for roller derby or being involved in any way, actually the summertime is a really great time to start because a lot of our veteran skaters kind of go on hiatus, which means we get lots of great one-on-one time for new skaters. And I think you started last summer, right?
No, actually I started this past January.
Okay.
But one of the things I'm really looking forward to is taking the summer to really refine the skills that we've been working on over the last couple of months so that come next season I'm ready to get out there and skate with Hellion and go make us another undefeated season.
Yeah.
Are you got any special takedown moves out there?
I'm pretty good with my hips. That's one area that, you know, having good wide girth is great. So.
Well, for that, I suppose. Yeah. All right. And it says here that part of the proceeds from this upcoming doubleheader is going to be donated. And would you like to cover that and how you chose your... it says it's part of it's going to be donated to the Juneau Special Olympics.
Yes.
I'm wondering how you picked them. So
at the beginning of each season, we have a huge league meeting, and we go through various nonprofits that are local, of course, and put it to a survey vote with the league to see where we'd like to put proceeds for every one of our bouts. So it's pre-planned out at the beginning of the year as to who's going to get it, but we're a huge fan of making sure that we put back into our community.
Yeah, and I think Special Olympics is a really awesome organization that kind of promotes a lot of the same sort of values that we do, which is, you know, being healthy, being active, being part of your community. So they're a great fit for us.
Right, and I know that the tickets have been on sale since the 16th. Are you sold out yet for the event or not?
We're getting close, so get your tickets.
Getting close,
soon.
Okay. About how many people do they have at the event for Centennial Hall? How many?
I think it seats around 550.
Okay.
We give our sponsors receive season tickets. We also have season ticket holders. So there's not that many tickets that are actually available for purchase. And we do always hold aside some tickets to be sold at the door. So even if we sell out, you know, at Hearthside or at the Jack, you can always get a ticket at the door if you come a little bit early. And again, just to remind folks, this bout is starting at 6 p.m. In the past, our bouts have started at 7. So it's a little bit earlier. It's just to give people enough time to get both of those amazing bouts in and still, you know, get to bed early or go to the after party.
Okay, where's the after party?
The after party is going to be at the Rendezvous, and we have been told by many other visiting leagues that we definitely have one of the best after parties that they attend going around the state. So we definitely have a good quality to live up to in that.
And nice.
We always have a really good time out there. We have a few traditions that we do for the league that unless you're at the after party, you're not going to see those. So.
Mm-hmm. And especially this this particular event being a doubleheader, there's going to be, you know, that many more roller girls in town and referees in town, so it's going to be an even bigger party and kind of a even bigger scene.
Mm-hmm. And with it being the last one, it'll, you know, be a really good wrap-up. It's another great opportunity to come out and talk to us about joining the league because you'll have other skaters from around the state that you can talk to. The Sitka Sound Slayers is a fairly new league. I think they've got 1 year.
Mm-hmm. They just had their very first bout last month.
Yeah, they've got a year in their belts. And then the Orange Crush team, a lot of those ladies have been skating a while. So it's a really great mix of talking to different skaters and kind of seeing what it's like with their leagues and what it would be like with us.
Okay, and how long have both of you been involved with this?
I just started in January, so I'm what they call a fresh meat skater.
And I'm a founding skater, so I was at our very first practice we ever had. So I think that makes it 4 years?
I think we're coming up on 4.
Okay, 4 years.
Nice. Okay, well, both of you, I wish you the best of luck coming up, and remind everybody when it's going to be. And this is a big one. This is the last event for the year for you guys. Well, the season, anyways.
It's the last bout of the season.
Right.
We have various community functions we participate in over the summer still. But for actual gameplay to get out there and watch us do what we do, this is the last opportunity.
Yep. So it's Saturday, 6 p.m., Centennial Hall. Get your tickets at Hearthside or the Jack or at the door. But you definitely don't want to miss it. It's going to be really, really fun.
Yep. And doors will open at 5:15, so if you want to come a little early, get your seats. The Rendezvous is going to have a bar there for drink purchases, so if you want to get set up, make sure that you get that front row or, of course, the very fun suicide seats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Juno Jumpers are doing the halftime show. Almost forgot.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. We actually have a halftime show that goes on in the midst of all this. Shouldn't there be two halftime shows? Since
so
we
technically
we only have
three.
Okay.
Because we have the halftime show for the All-Star Bout versus the Rage City Orange Crush, and that's
right.
Where the Juno Jumpers will be performing. Then we have the intermission halftime in between the bouts where we're still working on the mystery event that will happen for that. And then for halftime during the Sitka Slayers and our house team, we're actually going to be doing a raffle of merchandise. So there's going to be bout surveys that will go out. So it'll help with people who are interested in the league, as well as give us feedback as what they want to see more of, too.
Okay, great. Well, Sailor Mouth Molly and Helian Hansen, it's been more than a pleasure having both of you here in the studio. I haven't had any roller girls before, so this is a first, but hopefully not the last time that I see either of you.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I can't think of a better song to send you guys out with than Dire Straits' Skate Away. It's also known as the Roller Girl song. But thanks both of you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh,
Was Dire Straits with Skate Away for my two roller girls that were in here just a minute ago. And Juno Afternoon continues after a brief message. Stay tuned.
Tonight on 360 North, the BBC World News is at 7 and Alaska Weather at 7:30. From 8 to 10, Alaska veterans remember World War II, from the 10th Mountain Division's liberation of the Apennine Mountains of Italy to the Battle of the Aleutians. The Miller Center Forum follows at 10 with The Greatest Generation, America's Uncertain Entry into World War II. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org. Follow 360 North on Facebook and Twitter.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 28th of May, 2014. The birthday of the novelist Walker Percy, born Birmingham, Alabama, 1916. He was working as a psychiatrist when he caught tuberculosis, and it took him 2 years to recover from it. Lying in bed, he started to read philosophy and decided to become a writer, best known for his first novel, The Moviegoer. Percy said, "Tuberculosis was the best disease I ever had. If I hadn't had it, I might be a second-rate shrink practicing in Birmingham at best." It was on this day, 1902, the novelist Owen Wister published his book, The Virginian, now considered to be the first true Western. Owen Wister, born in Philadelphia, for his health, he went out to Wyoming, he fell in love with it, and he wrote a novel about a cowboy known only as the Virginian, moves to a town, Bear Creek, Wyoming, gets a job as the foreman of a ranch, falls in love with the schoolteacher Molly Wood, crosses paths with a group of cattle rustlers, and presides over the lynching of a cattle thief, one of whose associates threatens to murder the Virginian, who has to decide whether to leave town or to fight back. The Virginian contains the famous line, "This town ain't big enough for both of us." And it ends with a big shootout in the street. It was a very successful book. It sold 300,000 copies by the end of 1902, but Owen Wister's mother did not like it. She told him it wasn't a serious book, and it seemed to advocate violence. And Owen Wister never wrote another book about the American West. It's the birthday of the novelist Maeve Binchy, born in Dalkey, Ireland, in 1940. It's the birthday of the poet Mae Swenson, born Logan, Utah, 1913. Grew up in a Swedish Mormon family. After college, she moved to New York City, lived in Greenwich Village, worked as a typist for years. Her first book of poetry came out when she was 40 years old. It's the birthday of Ian Fleming, born London, 1908, born to a wealthy family. His father was a member of Parliament, who died in World War I. Winston Churchill wrote his obituary. Young Ian Fleming worked as a foreign journalist and a banker, stockbroker. He was the assistant to the director of British Naval Intelligence, and then he took up a career as a writer. The first of his James Bond novels was Casino Royale, 1953, books about espionage and also about fast cars and nifty gadgets and hot women. Here's a poem for today, a poem by Thomas More, born on this day in 1779 in Dublin, Ireland, his poem, "The Last Rose of Summer." 'Tis the last rose of summer, left blooming alone. All her lovely companions are faded and gone. No flower of her kindred, no rosebud is nigh to reflect back her blushes or give sigh for sigh. I'll not leave thee, thou lone one, to pine on the stem. Since the lovely are sleeping, go sleep thou with them. Thus kindly I scatter thy leaves o'er the bed, where thy mates of the garden lie scentless and dead. So soon may I follow, when friendships decay, and from love's shining circle the gems drop away, when true hearts lie withered and fond ones are flown. Oh, who would inhabit this bleak world alone? Thomas More's poem, "The Last Rose of Summer." That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that's been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. It's 3:38 p.m. I'm Ken Fix. I'm your host for Juneau Afternoon today. And my guests in the studio now are Genevieve McLaughlin and Joy Lyon from AEYC. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Okay, and tell us what AEYC stands for.
That's the Association for the Education of Young Children, Southeast Alaska, and we work together with our statewide partners, THRED, to support quality child care and working parents and, you know, supporting parents and their very important stressful jobs and balancing that work and family life.
Okay, and you're here to talk about the workshop about starting up your own child care business. Tell us about that.
Well, like you said, we'll be hosting an informational open house to help potential providers open a family child care business tomorrow evening at the Utter Culture from 6 to 7. Utter Culture is in the Mendenhall Mall. The thought of opening your own small business and navigating the requirements of a child care business can seem overwhelming, and we're here to say it doesn't have to be that way. We want to support some new family child care businesses.
Right, because there is a serious child care shortage right now in Juneau and also in Ketchikan, Skagway, and other southeast communities. And, you know, in Juneau, for example, 70% of children have all the adults in their home working in the workforce, and yet there is only enough child care for less than one in four children that need child care. So, and that's always been a really tight market for child care spaces, but right now it's the first time in, you know, that I have in 20 years that there's actually no openings in licensed child care. So we really want to get out the word to parents as well to really be thinking long in advance about how they're going to manage that, you know, to save up in order to take some time off work or figure out some creative options. So we do have some creative options for parents on the first Tuesday of every month at our office at noon on a lunch hour. So June 3rd, that's coming up, to really walk through like all the different ways that parents could navigate this really stressful time in coping with that, while we're working on getting a larger center developed in, you know, support here, and also licensed family child care programs. And so we're also really wanting to promote that, you know, getting into early childhood is a great career choice, that it's a really so important in the lives of families and children. It can be really rewarding. Genevieve had her own family child care business, so it can speak to, you know, it's really tell us about some of the fun things about family child care, Genevieve.
Well, being your own boss, for one, but, you know, really playing and developing, you know, the cognitive skills in young children and watching all of their, just watching them grow is amazing and fun and so rewarding in so many ways.
And we have so many supports for people that want to start a child care business. You know, we kind of counted it up, and it's about $10,000 in the first year that someone starts a family child care business, that if they have 12 credits in early childhood or a CDA, you know, we can help them get that. And then the City and Borough of Juneau has some tremendous support with the Hearts Initiative that has education awards and incentives for people to enter the field and work with young children. So there are wage incentives and really supports to grow in the profession. It's one profession where you can come in at entry level and grow really fast and really, you know, there's a real great career path if you're going to be really engaged and grow your own professional development.
Okay, what are you seeing that the problem is? Is that getting people actually credentialed to do this, or is it the real estate involved in order to, you must have to have a certain size space for X number of children that you're overseeing.
Right, it's all those things. It's really complex because it's finding a facility that meets the needs of children. For example, infants and toddlers need to be on the ground floor. There needs to be outdoor play space. It needs to be accessible to parents and affordable, because the early childhood programs really are all nonprofit. Whether they're, you know, designated that way or not, they're really, it's not a big profit-making business. And so there has to be some support for this space. So most of the child care centers in town have an employer sponsor, so that helps them with the facility costs. So we're looking to the business community to kind of join forces here in supporting a new center program as well. So it's facilities, it's getting people. There's a lot of different, you know, it's low unemployment in Juneau, so there's lots of opportunities for people. And so it's getting people attracted to want to work with young children. And then, you know, we offer all that support for them. And I think we used to have parents that wanted to stay home with their young children, which is a great option. They would start their own family child care. And now it seems that a lot of parents just want to focus on their own child, and it's a bigger stretch to think about having a group in their own home. So, you know, you need to own, you know, most people own their own home if they have a family child care business, because a lot of, you know, landlords don't want to rent. So, you know, it's good to have a second income, too, because then you have all that tax deduction that really helps you break even, you know, and having the maybe the health insurance from a partner. So those kinds of things really help it be successful. And so having your own child, none of these things are required, but it helps. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Genevieve, you've been in this for a while. How did you get into the child care end of this in the first place?
When my daughters were young, my youngest daughter wasn't thriving in a shared parent co-op type of child care, and it broke my heart to call and check in on her, and she'd be crying, and so I just decided, you know, my children were my priority, and I wanted to stay with home with them, and I wanted to do whatever it took, you know, to grow my little people, if you will. So I decided to open a child care business because we needed a second income in my home. And then I found AEYC. I was going to be just an underground child care, you know, not licensed, and just do it, you know, just do it. But then there was a child that came to me that was on Catholic Community Resources or Child Care Assistance. And in order to, you know, be paid for that child or to receive that assistance, I had to become an approved provider. So that started my licensing track, if you will. And so I called AUIC, and they assisted me in navigating through the checklist of how to become a provider. I became an approved provider through Catholic Community Services, and then I became a licensed provider. And then AEYC said, hey, you know, you're on this professional track. Why don't we get you your CDA credential, your Child Development Associate's credential? And, you know, I'm like, what is that? And so AEYC offers accredited training in early child development. And I started that process, and it was so much less scary when I had, you know, AUIC on board. And I know that there's a lot of parents out there that are in that same position where, you know, they may be bringing their children to an unregulated provider, and it's scary. You don't know, you know, why they're not regulated, and, you know, if there's any barrier crimes that might be stopping them, or, you know, what kind of development, you know, or what kind of education is your child getting. And so I just want to encourage those families that they can become a provider, and it's not scary. It seems overwhelming to navigate the whole process, but it's not. It's actually quite easy, and that's why we're hosting this meeting tomorrow. It's just an informational meeting to say, okay, if you, you know, want to be home with your children and you need that second income, we can help you. We'll come alongside and hold your hand.
Right. So it's tomorrow night, Thursday, from 6 to 7:30 at the Utter Culture, and people can just drop in any time during that time. And we have door prizes and snacks and free books and lots of great information. So it's just informal time to come and ask questions and find out about it. So some people may be already caring for some young children in their home, and they think, well, maybe like Genevieve, you know, they could grow their business. And other people may be thinking, well, I'm kind of thinking about staying at home with my child. And this is a way that even if you just take one or two children, this is a way to build in all those supports. And, you know, we have mini grants, and we have the child nutrition program, which is like the school lunch program to reimburse them for meals. And so lots and lots of supports. So,
all right, Joy. Well, just basic, what kind of credentialing do people need to get into this? Is it pretty extensive, or it can get that way, but...
No, you can start out with just your first aid and CPR card, and then from there on out, we partner with people to get them, you know, there is a minimum of 20 hours of training a year, but then if they go for, you know, get 120 hours of training, that leads to a national credential, which then is the equivalent of 12 university credits. So that's a, you know, the first step up, kind of like a CNA in nursing. You can get that, and then that articulates all the way up. So we've had people come in with no training at all, come in, get their child development associate, and then say, well, gosh, I did that. I'm going to go for my associate degree. And then they go on all the way up because they get excited about how much they are influencing these young children. And they see that, oh, if they have all the resources and tools they need, that job is so much more fulfilling to see that brain development happening right in front of their eyes.
Wow. Okay, and remind everybody again when your event is and where it is.
It is.
I know it. I'm looking at it. But, yeah.
It is tomorrow evening, Thursday the 29th, from 6 to 7:30 at Utter Culture at the Mendenhall Mall.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Genevieve McLaughlin and Joy Lyon, for being here in the studio. And is there a website where anybody can go for more additional information?
Yes, you can go to threadalaska.org. Or AUIC-SEA.org.
Okay, thanks again, both of you, for being our guests in the studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you to all the businesses and listeners who made KTOO's spring auction a success. Just a reminder, items are available for pickup at the station Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4:30. If you have any questions, call us at 463-6426. KTOO appreciates all of the community support for this year's auction.
This is Bird Note. To our ears, the song of a marsh wren may not be the most pleasing, but in a dense habitat of cattails, it's remarkably effective. The ratchety, low-pitched, explosive notes, like from a tiny machine gun, carry well through the thick vegetation. Similarly, the wren's next-door neighbor, the common yellowthroat, sings a choppy, repetitive song designed to rattle right through a stand of cattails. Along the edge of the same marsh, an olive-sided flycatcher sings, perched atop a tall tree. Its high-pitched, whistled song carries at least half a mile through the open air. Sharp, clear notes are ideal for a treetop singer. Different sounds travel better in different environments. High-pitched sounds have shorter wavelengths and are more easily stopped by solid objects, so they're better sung from the treetops. Explosive, low-pitched songs bounce better past solid obstacles, whether tree trunks or dense cattails. And so much depends on the birds getting their message across. What about birds that have neither tall trees nor dense shrubs to sing from, like the Lapland longspur? The longspur often takes flight to sing, casting its gentle song into the air as it glides above the Arctic tundra. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. It's 3:53 p.m. and got a couple of announcements to read. Friends of the Jensen Olson Arboretum, please join them for a beer and wine tasting event this Saturday, May 31st, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Glacier Gardens Rainforest Adventure. It's $35 per person or $60 per couple. All proceeds are going to benefit the Arboretum. Tickets are available from the board members, Hearthside Books, and the Jack For more information, you can call 789-0139. And Centennial Hall's got a construction advisory. North Pacific Erectors will begin construction on the Centennial Hall roof replacement. This has started already, and it's going to be continuing until further notice. The lawn areas of Centennial Hall will be fenced off during the construction. There'll be no public access to the area during this time period, and Centennial Hall will still be open for normal operations during the entire period of the construction. For project questions, you can call Teresa Morris, CBJ Project Manager, at 586-0893, or Tony Yorba, JYL Construction Manager, at 789-4582. And we're going to continue now with a little bit of lighthearted music. Here's the Herman Hermits with Oh, What a Wonderful World. Herman's Hermits with Oh, What a Wonderful World. It's 3:56 p.m. in Juneau, and you are listening to KTOO 104.3. It's Wednesday, May 28th, and our forecast this evening is calling for mostly cloudy skies with nighttime lows around 46, northwest winds at 10 miles an hour in the evening, becoming light and variable by morning. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with highs around 61 and light winds becoming northwesterly at 10 miles an hour in the afternoon. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds with a slight chance of rain and lows around 47. Southwest winds at 10 miles an hour. And we also have some auditions coming up for Perseverance Theater. They invite actors, singers, and dancers to audition for Chicago. Auditions are from 12 to 6 on Sunday, June 8th. Bring 16 bars of a mid to up tempo song, no ballads. Be prepared to sing it, however, you may not be required to do so. At the audition, men and women will learn a song from a musical and a dance combination. Please arrive in snug fitting, danceable clothes, and bring a performance, resume, and a headshot or recent photo. To sign up or for more information, you can contact Shauna Strausser at shauna@perseverancetheater.org or 907-364-2421, so 364-2421, extension 232. And the Juneau Afternoon, we broadcast on KTOO 104.3 in Juneau. We also rebroadcast on the following translators: K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable Digital Channel 871. We are also online at ktoo.org. and support for our national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. As far as the Roller Girls go, they were fun. But they're inviting you to be at Centennial Hall for their first ever doubleheader, the Capitol Riot. First up, the Juno All-Stars are going to take on Orange Crush from Rage City, who Juno eked out a victory against during the United We Roll Alaska Roller Derby tournament this month. And we expect the Orange Crush to come back with a vengeance. The fun's going to keep rolling because next May... Juno Extra Roughs will take on the Sitka Sound Slayers in the first ever interleague bout. The action takes place May 31st, that's this Saturday at Centennial Hall. More information can be found at junorollergirls.org. And thanks again to my Roller Girls, Sailor Mouth Molly and Helen Hansen, who were here just a little while ago. They were fun. No host bar will be provided. Tickets are already on sale, and you can purchase them from Hearthside Books, Rainy Retreat Books, and The Jack, $18 in advance, $20 at the door. And that's going to start at 6 p.m. The doors will open about 5:15. Seating is first come, first served. My name's Ken Fix, and it's been my pleasure to host the Juno Afternoon today. We'll see you again soon.
You are the first class to graduate.